This is Patty Daniels. I'm the executive producer of Vermont Edition, and you're listening to today's podcast. This episode has been edited for clarity and brevity. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Singeri in for Jane Lindholm. Originally, Vermont was about 80% forested. Then the European settlers arrived, they cleared the land for farming, and used the wood to build houses and to stay warm. Then they brought in sheep and needed to clear more land for grazing. At its nadir, Vermont was about one-third forested. But the state has rebounded and is now 78% forested, so everything must be all right in the woods. Right? Well, there are some concerns. Things like forest fragmentation and a declining forest products industry. We'll get a full view of what's happening from our forests. Joining us to talk about it is Michael Snyder. He's commissioner of the Vermont Department of Forests, Parks, and Recreation. Michael, welcome back to the Vermont Edition.
Thank you, Rick. Very happy to be here.
How would you characterize the health of Vermont's forests today?
Well, I would characterize it generally as quite good. We are forest strong in Vermont, three-quarters forested and largely in good shape. Oh, we're really lucky for that. There are some unsettling trends in forest health, and landowners and visitors alike can see some of them this summer with defoliation occurring, et cetera. These are, to some extent, normal, cyclical, but then there's others that are more worrisome. So we're generally in darn good shape. There are some threats and unsettling trends that we want to be aware of.
Well, one of the trends is that recent Forest Service data shows an actual decline in the amount of forest land. How significant is that?
Well, any decline would be of note to us. We depend on forests for many things, from the ecologic to the economic. They're profoundly important in the state, even if somewhat underappreciated, generally speaking. So if there's a decline, we want to know about it and we want to be aware of it. We are certainly aware of the federal estimate owing to the Forest Inventory and Assessment Program's kind of systematic approach to keeping track of extent of forest cover. That was jarring to see a significant loss documented. Now, to be clear and fair, those estimates are estimates.
Right.
And they come with pretty significant error bars or margins of error. So we would see them less as an actual datum, that this is an absolute number, and more of a trend that for the first time in 100 years, the trend is away from a grading or increasing forest area and towards a loss of forest area.
Right. And what you just said is probably why people are concerned. It's the first time in 100 years that that number actually did go down.
That's right.
So what is the cause for a decline, if there is such a thing?
Well, forests are the original native Vermonters. That's the natural expression of this landscape, is to be forested. And as you accurately and concisely pointed out, we've had a long history on this landscape, we being people, largely encountering a heavily forested state. And then over various land use changes and human uses, we moved towards much more open and agricultural condition. It has regrown. We believe that there's great strength in the forest of Vermont. It's a real unique competitive advantage for this state because of the many benefits that accrue. So we track those. We want to be careful with it. It's unsettling to see them go. The forces are generally conversion to non-forest. So principally that's parcelizing land ownership into ever smaller pieces, and then that subsequently leads to changes on the land itself in each of those ever smaller parcels, fewer and fewer trees, more built environment. You know, I want to be clear, we want human habitat too. And so it's a balance of it's really largely human conversion of forest to other use, residential, commercial, to some extent agriculture. We're not saying that's bad, that's good. But the concerns are, how do we do that in a way that still maintains the benefits and values that forests provide?
We're taking a comprehensive look at the state of the state's forests today, and we'd like to hear your thoughts. You can call us at 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. You can post your comments or questions on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. Now, what you just described, I think, is fragmentation, and that's been a big concern in recent years, something the legislature is addressing. So why are we seeing this fragmentation?
Again, fragmentation is the breaking of forests into ever smaller pieces to the point where they become no longer functional as forests, either for timberland production or water quality protection, atmospheric carbon mitigation, any number, scenery, fall foliage, outdoor recreation. There's a lot of things we depend on these forests for. That's the concern, is when they're no longer supplying those. That's the threat of fragmentation, is it reduces forest. They may still even – so it's converting forest to non-forest beyond a point where the either those places that they can no longer act as forests and provide those benefits, and they may start to encroach on the full function of the surrounding forest. So it's kind of the idea of keeping all the parts and pieces, and knowing that parts and pieces interact with each other. It's not just enough to have some trees over here. They've got to be fully connected. And that's kind of the emerging sense of the importance of forests, connectivity of forest integrity, having all the pieces intact. So I like to think of our human interactions on the land as being we want to stick with the old adage that the first precaution of intelligent tinkering is to keep all the cogs and wheels. And this is the idea of forest fragmentation, is keeping all the cogs and wheels in a meaningful way so that they continue to function. As we break the forest into smaller pieces, disjointed pieces, less functional pieces, we start to threaten what it means to be a heavily forested state and the benefits that flow from that.
Well, tell me why I should care. I mean, if I've got a piece of forest over here and some land and then another forest over here, I've got two forests that I can see, I can walk in between. What are the effects of fragmentation that I should really be concerned about?
And in fact, in that case, you may be – everything may be just fine. It's kind of one of the things that makes Vermont a really nice and especially nice forested state, is we are not completely forested. We have agricultural fields, notably, that are beautiful, human settlements that are wonderful to look at and sort of function on the landscape. So in that case, it may not be a problem. But when it becomes the whole state is Swiss cheese, it's sort of dominated by the holes and not the cheese, that's the problem. So in your hypothetical, if it's everywhere, then those postage-sized pieces of forest are no longer able to keep your logger neighbor down the road in business, supplying wood for the schools, providing hiking trails for all of us and our visitors, or protecting the water quality that flows through it. And so at some point, it becomes a matter of quality eroding function or loss of quality, and there's a tipping point there. Just because it's not forest doesn't mean it's not okay. It's when the pattern is we've lost our forest strength and it's kind of fragmented and broken apart into and we have states near us that look like this. Mm-hmm. You fly over them and you could see, well, boy, more trees there than I ever thought. Once you get down on the ground, you realize it's not really a forest. It's a treed community, and that's nice. But it's no longer a functioning working forest.
It also has an effect on wildlife. So explain how that works.
Well, these are prime habitats. And remember, forests include many kinds of habitats within them, including some open wetland, forms of types of natural communities within what we would generally call and map as forest. So there's many different habitat types, many different habitat values, and the power of that is enormous. So when we alter a forest significantly by creating new edges on the edges of it, that's an actual ecological concept. It's this edge effect of, like, not forest, the air, water, temperature regimes next to it start to blend into the edges, the interior of the forest, and it's no longer interior. So we think of – so that now interior quality that is very important is compromised by the edge effect, the nipping away at the edges. That's a simple explanation of a fairly complicated ecological principle that's well documented, and that's the beginning of the cascade of ill effects from fragmentation on habitat quality. Now, to be clear and fair, again, some animals, native Vermont animals, wildlife, thrive in those disturbed landscapes, mm-hmm. Fragmented landscapes. But I think we have pretty good understanding that the full suite of native plants and animals in the state depend on a more full-functioning, a forest that has maintained its integrity.
So is fragmentation in Vermont right now a concern, or is it a full-throttle problem?
That's a tough question. I guess I would say it's definitely a concern, and in places it's a full throttle. It's moving towards full throttle problem. My approach in signaling all of this over the last 6-7 years has been to say Vermont's forests are really important. They're largely intact and healthy. We get a lot from them. But there are these erosive forces that we want to pay attention to. And fragmentation is near the top of that list because it's so pernicious and so permanent. When we change – you mentioned how this landscape was once heavily forested. then it wasn't, and it's rebounded. It hasn't completely rebounded, or at least we don't know that. It's trees, and it's wonderful, but I don't know that anyone's willing to step up and say it's the same kind of forest that's functioning the same way and has the same level of resilience that it once had. So we want to be really careful with this goose that lays this golden egg for Vermont. So it's not a – I want to be clear. I don't think that this is a full-throated – throttled problem at this point. There are locations where you can see that. Certainly in Chittenden County, creeping north into Franklin County and south into Addison County at this point, there are places where it's lost its forested power. That's a decision, and it's not the end of the world. And over the rest of the state, it's largely in very good shape.
So is anything being done to minimize fragmentation in Vermont?
I think, a growing sense of the importance of forests, the reality of fragmentation, that it is a threat, that it is something we can preempt before it becomes a full-throttle problem. And that's the emphasis, is kind of new appreciation for the importance of forests, the role of good forestry in that, in keeping forest. And then more, everything from local landowners, local communities, even the Vermont State Legislature now, putting forward policy ideas in support of forest integrity and wanting to hold this all together.
And that is H-233.
The most recent example of being H-233.
Mm-hmm. So that bill proposes making changes to Act 250 to protect important areas of the forest from fragmentation. The administration opposes using 250. Why is that?
Well, because we think we have a more immediate concern, and I hope we'll get to that, which is a crisis in our forest economy. I want to be clear. The administration has said we appreciate the legislature's interest in the importance of forests, and forest integrity, all they do for us, and we support that. We're choosing to make a more immediate, we hope, response to these ailing the crisis that looms in the forest economy, thinking that if landowners have options to actively work their land, a marketplace into which they sell their world-class products, that gives them options and reasons to keep forest, and I think that's the more immediate problem for us.
Let's turn now to Jamie Fidel. Jamie is the General Counsel and Forest and Wildlife Program Director at the Vermont Natural Resources Council. Jamie, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Jamie, why is using Act 250 the best way to preserve key areas of forest land from fragmentation?
I'm not sure I would say it's the best way, but it's an important way and a complementary way to other strategies that are being discussed or being implemented. But there is a major gap in Act 250 that was identified going back 10 years ago when we've been holding and convening a forest roundtable for a decade now, with many diverse interests of people and stakeholders that are concerned about the forest and the future of forest. And we came up with 27 priority recommendations in order to address keeping our forest intact. And part of those policy discussions included a recognition that there is a gap in Act 250, that the criteria that is meant to address maintaining forest is highly underutilized, it's not well understood, and it doesn't address the issue of forest fragmentation. And so there's been an effort through multiple years of studies and discussions to recognize that there is a role for Act 250 to play. It does review our largest subdivisions in Vermont, and these are large subdivisions in half the towns that have zoning and subdivision regulations. These would be subdivisions of 10 or more lots. And when those are going through the Act 250 process, we certainly think it makes sense that there would be an effort to at least look at how that subdivision's being designed. Is it being designed in a smart way? Can you still maintain the integrity of the forest while also accommodating the growth that is desired there? And so it's one important way. And also local municipal planning is important, too, because not all development goes through Act 250. Certainly a lot of subdivision development goes through the local process instead of Act 250. And there have been a lot of efforts over the years to equip municipalities with tools. We've been helping towns do that. Fish and Wildlife Department, Forest Parks and Recreation have been helping in that effort. But to help communities know what are the strategies and what are the land use options at the municipal level. And the legislature actually passed in a forest omnibus bill some important steps to now require as a goal in planning at both the local and municipal level that communities starting in 2018 will identify where are these important intact forest blocks and wildlife connectivity areas, and to try and develop policies, both regulatory or non-regulatory policies, to minimize the fragmentation of those areas.
So, Jamie, the legislature has put forth H-233. Will it place more limits on how forest landowners manage their lands?
I don't think as far as managing their land. I think that for a landowner who's choosing to do a large subdivision, it will, if it were to pass, it would likely signal to that landowner, pay attention to how you're designing this subdivision. Try and do it in a way that would minimize the level of fragmentation. And if you can't minimize it, you can mitigate the impacts. And so it doesn't say no development in forests. That's not practical. That's not feasible. As Commissioner Snyder said, we want growth to happen in Vermont. But I think it's a signal to landowners that if you're doing a large subdivision, keep the forest in mind, work with your engineer, work with the professionals that you have that are designing the subdivision, and try and show that at least you've attempted to try and carefully think about where the homes will go, to try and maintain some integrity of that forest while you're also laying out your lots.
I mentioned earlier that there is an actual decline now in the amount of forest land in Vermont. How significant do you think that is?
We've been doing research on this issue. We've been combining all the grand list data statewide, creating a statewide database, and we've quantified the rates of subdivision in Vermont. And I think there's a narrative, which we all hear, that there's not a lot of growth happening in Vermont. And that may be true for population growth, but certainly we've documented the subdivision trends in Vermont, and there's some alarming statistics in our research. For example, between 2003 and 2009, 126,000 undeveloped forest acres had a new dwelling associated with it. So there is subdivision happening in our forests. The statistic you mentioned before showed that the Forest Service is showing for the first time in over 100 years an actual decline in our forest cover. And so I think it's important. It's important for us to acknowledge what's happening on the ground and to also understand that there's a lot of opportunity for us to be smart about this. And the bottom hasn't fallen out. We still have a lot of intact forest land in Vermont. But it is a time right now for us to join with the legislature and all the different stakeholders and groups that are leading on this effort to develop all the strategies that are necessary. And it's not just land use. It's maintaining a viable working forest economy. It's working with forest landowners who, you know, the demographics are a challenge in and of themselves. So 65% of the forest land is owned by forest landowners that are over 55 years in age, and trends show that there's going to be a lot of turnover in our forest in the near future. And so we need to equip forest landowners with strategies in order to hold on to their forest land. That may be, you know, working with a land trust to look at conservation easements and the tax benefits that come from that, or enrolling in the current use program so that folks who own forest land can help manage the taxes on that land. So there's a lot of diverse strategies that we need.
Well, I'll ask you about one more thing, Jamie, and then let you go. You mentioned the forest economy. So where do you think there are opportunities for building the forest economy, which right now is in decline in Vermont?
Sure. There are definitely challenges. Right now, I think there's a lot of attention to the fact, and I'm sure Commissioner Snyder will talk more about it, about some of the loss in the low-grade wood markets. I think there's a lot of attention right now to boost our use of efficient wood heating for home use or for district heating. That's an area where we can promote the use of low-grade wood and apply it more for heating across Vermont. I think one thing we can do is look at the huge success in the locavore movement and purchasing and supporting our local food and translate that over to the forest products economy and really increase the education of people and their choices as far as the kind of forest products that they buy and really do more of a linkage to for builders and for architects and people who are making choices about where they're going to buy their wood for a new home. Let's support the local economy and do what we've done for the local food economy.
Jamie Fidel is the General Counsel and Forest and Wildlife Program Director at the Vermont Natural Resources Council. Jamie, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And listeners, we're discussing Vermont's forest land and trying to determine what the right course of action is. Michael Snyder, we were talking about the economy of our forest. How important is a strong forest economy to the health of the forest?
Well, in 2017, it's of colossal importance. There's no getting away from it. I mean, to reset, let's remember forests, they're native Vermonters, and they belong here and they live here, right? And they don't need us. They're just fine without us. But we need them in a growing list of ways as we come to understand it. Nearly $1.5 billion in annual economic activity through forest products alone, another $2.5 billion from tourism, a world-class tourism and outdoor recreation economy that's based on our forests generally. We ask a lot of them, and that doesn't even include the unpriced or less well-quantified benefits of water quality and water supply, flood resilience, climate mitigation, biodiversity, our cultural heritage, on and on it goes. They're really important, right? And so, and we know a lot about forest ecology. We know a lot about silviculture and the ideas of applying ecological principles to a sustainable management of forests. We're really good at it. We've gotten really good at operations in the woods, doing it well and carefully and closely. And none of that matters if there's no marketplace. That's the way the world works, and landowners are under increasing pressures to meet needs, and that often comes at the expense of their land. And so you ask, how important is a forest economy to forest health? I mean, people could imagine it's good for an economy. It is also important at this point to forest health. It's one of our last best hopes for keeping forests forests, is having a robust marketplace, a modern, sustained marketplace where landowners can interact carefully and intelligently with their land and sell the byproducts of that work, that's also providing for access, foliage, and hunting and fishing, you know, while keeping it forested. So this economic piece is of fundamental importance at this point.
Well, let's look at some of the changes in the forest economy. Mainly, there's been the collapse of the market for pulpwood, which was kind of a cornerstone.
Correct.
There are fewer mills, fewer loggers, fewer trucks. So would you say that the industry is in crisis in Vermont right now?
I don't think it's overly dramatizing it to say it is in crisis.
Wow.
We're losing the human infrastructure, the people we count on to get this work done and do it well. So that's a workforce problem. It's a cultural problem. Let's face it, a lot of love for farmers out there, but it's very hard for a logger to get that same kind of love. Even the really, really top flight professional loggers that work so hard and do such great work, they're up against it. There's a cultural impasse there, an apathy and an awareness gap that's widening. So workforce issues, various globalizing forces in the marketplace. We're a small state, and it's a big old forest world out there now in the forest economy. So Maine's collapse in their pulp mills and losing some 4 or 5 million tons of pulpwood demand a year, a surprising volume of that came from Vermont. We're the farthest away from in their woodshed, so we're the first to get dropped off. That's having a significant effect on the marketplace here. Prohibitively expensive insurance costs, various regulatory burdens. This is a perfect storm that's kind of caught up with the forest industry here in a big way.
Michael, let's take a call from Ken, who's calling in from Pittsford. Ken, thanks for joining us on Vermont Edition.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad to hear that Michael and Jamie are on board. To express the musings. I think you both, I think they're doing a good job to bring this conversation to the state. My family's been involved in the forest products industry for going on 60 years now, and we would have been finding it to be a very much changing environment. And I think one of the important things to point out that the listeners of our state and your radio program would be important to know is that the demographics of the people that own land on the private side is a different demographic than those that owned land 30 and 40 years ago. And the forest products industry relied on a pretty reliable source of private forest products being produced, and that has changed significantly. And at the same time, the percentage of public lands in forests have grown, and to the point where public lands are up to between national and state pushing 20%, and my experience has been that the harvest rates on those lands have actually declined, and would strongly hope that our state and federal partners would help in this area to provide a stable, continued resource.
Let's get Michael Snyder's take on that. Love to get his response to what you just said.
Sure, and always good to hear from Kenny. Thanks for phoning in. And, he's giving a personal family account of just what we're talking about, the importance and these difficult trends. So we want to thank him for his work and hope he can hang in there. We talked about this just last week, about the idea of the role that, I won't speak to the federal ownership, but there's about 355,000 acres of forest land in the state under, you know, our responsibility at the department and at the agency. And we have a timber management program that is in part that it's not just about timber. We manage these lands for lots of things, and timber pays most of the bills. So we have a staff of professional licensed foresters that take great pride in how they do that with public input and based on ecological principles, kind of a process. The annual output, if you will, of that program is volatile, as is markets, as is our weather. We face what many landowners face. We have tried to ramp that up, and we're eager to continue doing that.
And
we believe it plays a role in the marketplace out there. Our kind of bulk availability of good access for good timber and well-managed lands.
And overall, we have, what, about 4.5 million acres of forest land in the state?
That's right.
Okay. We're joined now by Colleen Goodridge, who is vice president of the Vermont Forest Products Association. It's an industry group whose members include loggers, truckers, processors, mill foresters, and landowners. And she also owns Goodridge Lumber, a sawmill in Albany, Vermont. Colleen, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Well, good morning, good noon, or whatever. But I was also born and raised in Irisburg on a dairy farm. So when we talk about the core values of Vermont being agriculture and forestry, I guess that's what shaped my life and why I feel it's so important to recognize the importance of both. And having worked in our family lumber business for 43 years, I guess you get a bit of a feel for these people that dedicate their lives to working the lands.
Wow. Is it fair to say, Colleen, that the forest products industry is in a bit of trouble?
Yes, I would say it is. We've seen a decline in the last few years. I know that loggers delivering the logs to the mill, we've seen a change. There aren't as many. The crews in some of the logging companies have diminished. We do have the aging workforce. And maybe that logger cut down to himself and one family member, or just is talking to his children that have born and brought up in the industry and are saying, I don't see any bright future. I think you should choose another occupation. And that is very troubling when we're talking about having this natural resource that's renewable. We want to employ people. It's a good way of life. And the decisions that we are making today will determine what the future is of our industry.
Well, what does need to happen for that industry to recover?
Well, as Michael said, we face many challenges and have for many years, all the way from, high cost of insurance, especially workers' compensation, high cost of equipment investment, the workforce, markets. We can't do much about Mother Nature, but all of these things can either, make or break a business, and we're seeing just the forest products economy is so important to Vermont. As Michael said, it's part of our culture. Many generations have worked the land. The environmental benefits that we get to having healthy forests and the economy, what it brings to Vermont. But in the end, if these people involved in the chain of forest industry, the landowner that grows the trees, the loggers, truckers, foresters, the mills, both primary and secondary, and biomass, if we cannot make a living The handwriting is on the wall, and that's just about where we are right now.
Well, are there new markets that can take the place of markets that you've lost?
Well, we are. You know, there is research being done on what we can do with the low-grade hardwood, looking at new ways to use the wood that we have. I would say that, unfortunately, we have not perhaps been as aggressive as we might have been on promoting our industry and encouraging investors to come to Vermont to maybe have some manufacturing plants here in the state. So I think we've gotten a little behind in that. And, you know, when you look for prospective investors, it doesn't happen overnight. So we've got some decisions that we've got to make along the way is how can we create policies working with legislature to encourage that development of industry, attract new investment. How do we strengthen that the chain, the sector of all the people involved so that we can make a living? And we do feel that a vibrant forest products economy is going to be the best way to slow down forest fragmentation. We all need to know what's happening in our state. We certainly need to have these discussions with all stakeholders involved. And we need to be careful about more regulation, make sure that it's not going to have unintended consequences. We know that these, especially large landowners with these forest blocks, if they can't afford to keep their land and make a living off it, they're at risk for doing other things with it.
Colleen Goodridge is the Vice President for the Vermont Forest Products Association. I want to thank you so much for being on the program today, Colleen.
You're welcome.
And we're still talking with Michael Snyder, Commissioner of the Vermont Department of Forests, Parks, and Recreation. Let's take another call from Elizabeth, who's calling from Orwell. Elizabeth, thanks for calling Vermont Edition. Are you there, Elizabeth? There we go.
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Well, we can, yes.
Hello? Okay. Yep. So the other thing that I've heard missing from this discussion is the importance of forests with carbon sequestration and the impact of climate change and how important both forests and soils are for sequestering carbon. And I'm, you know, and also forests have a lot of mycelium fungi, which is a whole other super important kingdom. And I'm wondering if the state, because Vermont's creative, is looking at any ways to give financial incentive or assistance to foresters and farmers who would want to maybe even reforest some of the open land and manage their forests in a different way rather than traditional logging and timbering, but maybe with some of the other potential renewable, you know, not just with pellets, but using the fungi, capitalizing on the biodiversity, the importance of that, tying that in with some actual money to encourage saving the forest.
All right, Elizabeth, what's the what Michael Snyder has to say about that?
Well, thanks, Elizabeth. Those are all good thoughts, and they're certainly in the mix. First of all, with regard to the role of forests in the carbon cycle, you mentioned carbon sequestration. I think I did mention that earlier, and I hope I did because it's important. It's one of the fundamental values that forests bring, the lungs of the planet. Simply, they absorb carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. That's the issue that has folks concerned, is carbon in the form of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, contributing to climate change, et cetera. Trees take carbon out of the atmosphere, and they turn it into wood and leaves and roots. They make trees out of it. And in the meantime, they give off oxygen. It's a pretty darn good deal for all of us. So we've learned a lot about the role of forests in the global carbon cycle, including storage, which is how much carbon is actually stored inside trees, and as you rightly point out, soils, which is massive. And then there's sequestration or uptake or flux, which is the movement of carbon. And so forests do both. Young forests, for example, are really good at actively scrubbing it, growing vigorously. Old forests are slower growing, but they have more carbon in them. My view is we need a nice mix of age classes across the landscape in accordance with historic biologic patterns, and that's the best hedge against climate change we have, is keeping healthy forest healthy in a mix of age classes and sizes. You mentioned the soils and the role of fungi in the soils. I think you might have been referring to mycorrhizal relations between certain fungi and tree roots, which are known to be to help trees absorb more water. Fungi gets a little tree food out of the deal. This is what I mean by holding all the parts together, some of which are a little harder to see. They're below ground. And that's why we want to be careful in our approaches to forest land management. So the last big piece was the money. Yes, incentivizing landowners to use best practices and do things. We want to give people options, let them make good choices on their own. If there were more money, it would be a nice thing to spend on.
I want to hop back to the Vermont forest products industry before I let you go here, Michael. What ideas do you have to create new markets for these products for Vermont?
Well, we're looking across a variety of things. We don't think there's a magic bullet. If it was simple, we would have done it by now, and it's probably not going to be one thing. This forest economy and the role of forest in our state, it's a big ship. It's going to take a while to turn it. We need to start turning, and we need to all in. So I think it begins with an intentional choice by Vermonters to say, this matters to us. Let's think about it. Let's be careful. I think we're going to need to expand. We see some real options, some benefit to expanding the use of wood heating. We're a national leader. More than a third of Vermont school kids go to schools heated by wood. We want to build on that. A long history of heating with wood. We want to do it in an advanced, modern way that's clean burning with respect to the atmosphere and efficient with respect to the use of the wood. So we see lots of growth possibilities to replace some of that lost market for low-grade wood by burning it and heating our spaces in a modern way. Workforce development, expanding the markets we have for the durable value-added wood products that we already have here outside of the state, more Vermonters being able to afford and use local wood. Jamie mentioned demanding it in our design and retail. All that sort of cultural change, wood energy, a workforce development, and a general awareness. There's some new products on the horizon in terms of nanocellulosic technology that uses wood and low-grade wood in particular in new ways. We're optimistic.
Michael Snyder is Commissioner of Vermont's Department of Forests, Parks, and Recreation. It was just great having you with us today.